Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into USWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of Edmarket involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. That number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's Biblical Focus Group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/rgru. That's www.myspace.com/rgru. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Well, good evening. This is Leivon Breland coming to you live tonight, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and the host of USWAT Radio Program. Happy Tuesday. This is a new day for our organization to share with you the living word of God. And tonight I've kind of coined the phrase of this being the Teaching Tuesday. And I'm going to, I felt impressed of the Spirit to add another day of teaching on the USWAT Radio Program. And I wanted to kind of be a little more strategic. I'm very strategic in this program because this is the spiritual, the Urban Glory Campaign Spiritual Word Advancement Training Radio Broadcast. That's what USWAT stands for. And part of that is advancement training. Now, I'm very keen on advancement training. On Thursday, we have advanced training, but I want to have some teaching and training on Tuesdays, and then on Sundays we are giving more of a ministerial emphasis on the training. And this month we're going to use tonight's lesson on Sundays and Tuesdays, and then on Thursdays we're going to start Volume 2 of Empowering the Preacher's Prayer Life, the Doctrine of Confession. So I'm going to tell you a little later our subject. However, I told you I was going to be on Sunday, and I was very, we had some complications. I was on Sunday, I believe. Yes, I was on Sunday, but I said I was going to come on Monday, or one day I was supposed to be on the air, and I was not able to come on the air. I believe it was Monday I was supposed to come on and give the new dates of the Institute. We had to postpone the Institute because of the complications that we were having with the system. And we want everybody to be able to benefit from the institute that we're having by phone. And so we reassigned the dates for May the 4th through the 8th, 2009. Registration is still open. We've had many people respond, but we want people to keep responding and registering so that you can receive not only the teaching, but you can get the material and follow along with the teaching that's going to be constructed systematically for leaders. So we have those dates, again, that's May the 4th through the 8th. And we do apologize for postponing the previous thing, but we wanted to give you an excellent product without complications due to system malfunctioning. So we want to make sure that we master the system a little better. And then at the 1st of May, we're going to have that conference. And it's going to be a five-day conference that is going to revolutionize the entire ministry. So I'm excited about that. I also want to do this. Usually when I started the broadcast, I gave a shout-out to the person who inspired me to get on Blog Talk Radio. And when I started the ministry one, I gave a shout-out to some of my minister friends. And so tonight I want to do a shout-out to one of my friends, my family, one of my God sisters. And I want to thank her for listening to our broadcast all the way in Haverty Grace, Maryland. Well, I guess it's Aberdeen, Maryland. I call everything Aberdeen. So I want to say hello to Miss Ruth for listening. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. And I cannot hear you because I'm online, but I'm sure you can hear me. And I thank God for you. I thank God for her stance. You know, some people have challenges that we don't normally have. And they've learned to live their life superior spiritually than they can naturally. And when I had an opportunity to fellowship with my sister, my God sister, and she truly embodied the concept of what it means to be a God sister, I saw her spiritually at a higher level than she was naturally. And naturally, there were challenges, but however, she's conquered them. And she has the right attitude because she's allowed God to be her final authority. So I thank God for her listening, and I encourage everyone to continue to listen. Now, our new days are Tuesdays at 11 p.m., Thursdays at 11 p.m., and Sundays at 11 p.m. We're at night. Now, if you can't listen to us by Internet, you can listen to us online by calling 646-595-4877, or you can go online and download as much programs as you can. However, let me let you know in advance that the Leadership Institute will not be able to be downloaded. We're going to make sure that those that information, once it's released, is released out. But after that, we're going to discard them, and we're going to put it into our product and material for you to purchase, because there's going to be some bonus material that's not even going to go on the air pertaining to our Leadership Institute. And we have two more to go this year, and the Lord really, we have the Leadership Institute, we have the Visionary Institute, and we have the Business Entrepreneurs Institute that we're going to go forth, and then we're going to do a reviewing institute to review kind of the concepts that we've learned throughout the year. So I want to let you know, heads up, that come July, we're going to have, I'm not going to give the dates out for it, but in the month of July, we're going to have our Visionary Institute, and a visionary is different from a leader. And I'm going to find the differences, so I want you to listen. And leaders are different from laborers, and I'm going to define that in the Leadership Institute. And you're going to learn a lot about the church and how to be a leader who is also a laborer in the church. And we're going to talk about that specifically on the 4th through the 8th of May. So let everybody know. Now, anybody can call this number on the time of the broadcast. Call and let people know that we are on the air, that we're teaching on Tuesdays systematically for us to understand the Word of God for practical application and for spiritual advancement. On Thursdays is Ministers Thursday. That's when we talk and we do advanced training in the Word of God. And on Sundays, we are also in ministers training as well, because this is a ministers program. But anybody who goes and proclaims the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus is welcome to listen to this at any time. Now, I'm not going to go over all the fundamentals on Thursdays and Sundays, but on Tuesdays, I'm going to go back and do some foundational teaching. As in addition to foundational teaching, I'm going to give you a little more historical analysis of the scripture, because a lot of times we have what we perceive as the spirit of the scripture, but the spirit of the scripture cannot be understood unless you know the history behind the spirit that caused these men to write in these times. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to preface this Tuesday for those people who you know have complications about the scriptures to learn and listen to these dialogues on Tuesday night. Encourage anybody who wants to develop a solid foundation to join us in our studies on Tuesday night at 11 p.m. And if they can't make it, we can send them an email if they give us their email with the teaching. And we can also have them go on there anytime and download it, and they can download it on their MP3 player, or they can get it where we can burn it on a CD for them at a purchase, or anything. So there's no limits to them receiving the word whenever they have time to. But if you want a nice time of teaching, call at 11 o'clock at night. It's a nice time of night. Everybody should be home during that time, but you may not be home. And in the different time zones, it might be even a better time for you to listen. But 11 o'clock is a good time at night for those of you who are single. Instead of talking to your boyfriend or girlfriend on the phone, you can call and listen to the Word of God on the phone. That'll help you see. So that way when these jokers come along trying to take you captive and make you involved in the relationship, you'll know how to handle them, because the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And also, it's not only for the singles, but for those who are serious about the things of God. The word of God has to be taught, and it has to be taught through the vessel of a preacher. And if you don't take the time to listen to preachers, then you won't know how to preach. And also, you won't know how to develop in your faith. And faith cometh by hearing, as the scripture says, and hearing by the word of God. But it says, how can they hear without a preacher? So that's the other reason why I'm doing this program. I'm giving the opportunity for people to develop in their faith by the hearing that comes through the person of God, who's the preacher, based on them giving what? The word of God. So I'm going to be giving you the word of God, not my personal interpretation, but the word of God. And sometimes I do give you my personal interpretation, and that's all right too, but I would rather you take the scripture and live off the scripture than my personal interpretation. I always do this when I teach, and I'm explaining this on Tuesday night so you know this, because I want you to prep yourself for this type of teaching. I'm going to give you what I call a scripture route. A scripture route lets you know the scriptures that I'm going to go to before I go to them. So tonight I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, and I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. That's going to be our scripture route tonight. And I'm going to do a commentary, and I'm going to be talking, but those are the scriptures that you can expect me to go to. Now, there's a lot of times in my commentary I'm spitting out scriptures lightly. But the scripture route lets you know, and sometimes anybody who has listened for a while knows that I'm going to give you about 8 to 16 scriptures usually. But because it's an introduction, we only need to deal with two primary focal scriptures, and then establish that foundation on the next Tuesday. And this coming Sunday, we're going to go into the meat of the teaching, because I'm telling you, these teachings are going to really help believers stand in the day that we're living in. Amen. So with that being said, let's get into the word. Again, I want to give another shout out just in case she might have got on there late. I want to thank you, my God sister, Ruth, for listening. And I thank God for your walk and your steadfastness in the work of the Lord. I was very encouraged spending time with you this past weekend. look forward to future events, and I thank God for you listening. Along with all the other listeners, my good friend, my preaching buddy, who I'm trying to pull on a coattail to come, my Pastor Leah is listening faithfully, and she encourages me, you know, and all types of people. We have about 1,000 listeners per month listen, and I'm just excited about the word going forth and it being shared with. And hey, tell these preachers who don't, you know how to quite get a word, they can always get a portion of the teaching and preach it at will, because this is information that's given easy at the access. So, you know, it's just silly not to come and listen to it and find out what's going on, because you might be able to get some messages out of some of the commentary and some things. And if you have a skillful ear in the spirit, you'll get a revelation out of it. Amen. And I'm not saying that because of me, but I'm saying it because of the seriousness that I put into these teachings and the structure that the Spirit gave me to systematically flow through the scriptures to study the Word of God with you. So tonight we're going to be studying a new volume of teaching, and I promise you that when we finish the first volume of this study on the 28th, if you listen and you take notes and you pray and you continue to be in prayer as I'm teaching, your life will never be the same as a result of the word proclaimed. So with that being said, let's look to the Father as we begin this lesson, and for the next 35 minutes we'll be in the Word of God strictly, and we're going to be studying in our new volume of teaching. Father God, in the name of Jesus, it is a great honor and privilege to come before your presence with thanksgiving, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I do thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. I lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide tonight to speak through my mind clearly, that I might deliberate the things of the gospel today in systematic fashion, clearly and consistently and compliant with the will of God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence bearing witness with the things that shall be accomplished tonight. I thank you for clear articulation of speech, deliberation of thought, intent of thinking, as I provoke the preachers of the gospel to study and to meditate on the word of God day and night, that they might rightly divide and stand and be the example that you have foreordained them to be. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice, that they will be anointed to hear and to receive the word that is proclaimed tonight. And let it not fall on deaf ears, but accomplish that which you have sent and purposed to do. And you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of Jesus, your precious name. Praise you, Lord. That I do praise you and I give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I told you to have your Bibles pre-marked to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, and Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Tonight I want to open up a new series entitled The Stability of Our Times, The Stability of Our Times, The Stability of Our Times. We live in very interesting times today, and those times demand that we have a sense, not only a sense, but a state of stability. And if you are not stable in the day that we live in, Satan will sift you as wheat. We are living in a time period where people have craved sensuality. They have exploited sexuality. And they have not gratified their spirituality. And as a result, Satan has had his way. But Satan's day will not override the way of our Savior. And when we know that our Savior is truly in charge, Satan will have no power over any foe or woe that would come against the way of our Lord. So today, we're going to talk about stability, the stability of our time, because it's when we understand the stability of our times that we will fundamentally affirm our faith, so that we will walk in consistency with the conviction and the character of Christ that is congruent with our compliance to divine sovereignty. And so on these nights and these lessons, I want to strategically, systematically, and with a seriousness purpose our study in aiming to arming our perception and preaching to effectively secure solutions that afford solvents through sound doctrine for the challenging times we face. So what do you mean by stability of our times? Stability is going to be achieved in sovereignty. That's what I mean. So stability is going to be achieved in sovereignty. What do you mean by sovereignty? Sovereignty meaning that God has a method, a modus operandi, a mode of operation of doing things. And when he does things in the manner that he deems them to be done, it will be done whether we like it or not. So we, at best, better take a seriousness to his word, maintain the standards of his ways, and become steadfast in seeking his face. Glory to God. So tonight's lesson, we're going to do a brief study on the life of Isaiah the prophet. We're going to do a brief study on the book of Isaiah. And we're going to develop and learn about six life lessons of what will, of what the Chronicles of Captivity will reveal. Why? Because we're in states of captivity. Whether you know it or not, we live in an era of captivity. Mainly, people are captive spiritually. They do not know who they are. And because they don't know who they are, they don't know how to do what they need to do. Glory to God. But when we arm ourselves spiritually and learn from the lessons of life that are given through the Chronicles of Captivity, we will learn what to do and what not to do in the situation that we're in by taking heed to what God says we should do. And one of the scriptures that comes to mind, and I didn't know this in our scripture, but of course you know what it says, to no longer conform to the ways of this world, but to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is the good, perfect will of the Father, what is acceptable according to him. This is what we're living in. So a lot of this is a perception of the mind. What makes the mind unstable in these times? Us resolving to lean into our own understanding and knowledge and not acknowledging him. Because when we know that we don't lean to our own understanding, and we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he directs our path. So when there's not direction for the path, it's because we're not acknowledging him in all of our ways. Do you get what I'm saying? And so we're going to deal with six life lessons that we're going to learn. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about Isaiah. Isaiah is a very interesting book of the Bible. It's one of the largest books in the Bible. And out of the book of Isaiah, we can parallel it with the entire Bible. Isaiah has 66 chapters from Genesis to Revelation, or 66 books. Isaiah talks about the beginning before the coming of the Lord Jesus, and it also comes about the glory of his reign of the Lord Jesus, as does Genesis talk about before the coming of the Lord Jesus and the glory of his reign and the manifestation of the Lord Jesus. So Isaiah is often a good scripture to parallel ourselves into understanding what time we are in. Glory to God. And whenever you want to deal with something about time, you're really dealing with the nature of a prophetic moment. So we're talking about prophetic moments when we deal with the stability of our time. Ecclesiastes also indicates to us that there's a time and a season for what? Some things or everything? Everything, the scripture says. So if there's a time and a season for everything, and we are depending on the sovereignty of God to sustain us in these times, we understand that the method in which God uses, as he did in Isaiah, is prophetically. So prophetically comes in, the term prophetically simply means this, that God is involved in the scheme of time. And he uses people, places, ideas, and agendas during those times to vindicate his way and his voyage in the way you should voyage during the time that you have been allotted here on planet Earth. Isaiah the prophet was not concerned about other people's time. He was not concerned, as we perceive, with the future coming of the Lord Jesus, but more so in the present stability in which the life he was ordained to minister in. I understand, preachers, that he, in his visions and in his state of prophetic analysis of the time, that we can perceive and kind of roadmap the chronology of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, that's not his effort in dealing with the manner in which he dealt with. He dealt with the people that he was entrusted with to carry out his gift for that time period. That time period in his life, he experienced two major captivities. And that's why we have to learn life lessons from captivity. He learned from the captivity based on the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And, of course, you understand history reveals that Isaiah lived the age of man, which was ordained, which was 120 years. And he was a martyr for the sake of the gospel based on him carrying out what the Lord had revealed to him in visions and in versions of his word. When he began to voice the conviction of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of him standing in the place as God's mouthpiece for that time. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, the time for the prophetic is not in the time of peace, but in the time of poverty, in the time of people rejecting the nature and the intent of God, in the time of captivity. That's when prophetical events occur. Isaiah the prophet of God was raised up in the time of captivity to speak on behalf of God. Because a lot of times when things occur in people's lives, glory to God, when things happen in people's lives, we see devastation. We see humiliation. We see frustration. We see aggravation. We see captivity or captivation of events that causes people to experience things in their lives. There's a reason for the reason. There's a reason for the means by which we stand. And Isaiah is a vivid example of God's word sustaining or pronouncing the faith of people in the time that they lived in. Now, no matter how many chapters that you read, of course there's 66, you're going to see the state of stability of the children of Israel when he's pronouncing the word of the Lord, which lets us know, and of course you know, just to give you some side information, that you can observe Isaiah the prophet's words when you deal with the book of Isaiah, and you have to read the whole book of Isaiah to really understand it. I don't have the time to really go over all of Isaiah, but I think it's a good launching pad for us to get into stability of the times, because we can often talk about, and of course you know stability of the times is going to deal with really four major components that we're going to go over. We're going to go over six tonight, but we're going to go over four major components throughout the teaching to kind of establish a foundation for this journey of discussion, because everybody wants to be a solution for the times that we live in. But if you don't know how to operate in time, Scripture lets us know, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Why do we need to learn how to number our days? So we can work within the time that is allotted to us. And if people would take more serious analysis of their time, glory to God, They won't allow others to waste their time. They won't allow themselves to waste their time. They won't allow the enemy to waste their time. But they will take the most of their time, first of all, to give God the glory that is due his name. Second of all, to establish the foundation by which they stand, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also to secure the salvations of others as they pronounce these things concerning stability. See, a lot of times we want to say, yeah, God is going to get you through. Well, how is God going to get you through? You're going to have to be stable in an unstable world. Well, how are you going to be stable in an unstable world? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. You have to establish a serious approach about observing the work of the Lord. And this is all about the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwell therein. You have to learn as believers and as those who preach the gospel that when you're talking about prophetic times, it's not to give somebody a word to make them feel better. It's a word to let them know that they've got to take the most of their time because the time that God has allotted to them is ordained for an appointed time. The Bible tells you to work while it's day because when night comes, man won't be able to work. So while you have the time to work, you need to make sure that you're doing what you're called to do. Glory to God. Because there's coming a time you're not going to be able to do it. And so the time and the stability of our time focuses us to time. It focuses us to be sensitive to the timing of God. And it also focuses us to allow the supernatural power of the Lord Jesus to govern our personal affairs and to also govern our community endeavors as we endeavor to share and be among those of like precious faith. Part of our establishing this stability and part of us being objective in our study aims at producing solvents. I am at a point in life where I don't have time to play in people's situations. Because situations are subject to the law of change, I need solvents. When you're going through times of recession is a mental attack. Times of oppression is a mental attack. Times of poverty and time of destroying people's wealth and livelihood, they're going to need more than hold on to God's unchanging hand. You're going to have to take them to the Word of God because the Word of God is our final authority. It's the place where we locate what we need to know in these times. And if we don't go to those places, we're going to find ourselves in error, glory to God. But how do you know God is not a God of error? He's not a God of hitting and missing. Although the scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. But the gift of God is eternal life and peace. We often take the road of hard knocks when God says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come and learn of me. If you would just learn how to humble yourself and to get into a place where you can hear from God, because the sheep knoweth his voice, a voice of another that will not follow. See, we always say we know these because we preachers. But do we really know that? That's why I'm taking the time to systematically study on stability in time. See, because when you studied how to be stable in time, when the storms of life come to attack you, when the situations that men present to distract you, when other suggestions try to eradicate you off of this world, you're steadfast and you're unmovable. Why? Because you're abounding in the work of the Lord. And your labor is not in vain. See, if you know how to be stable, you can go through the things of life in this time knowing that your Savior has done all that it took, glory to God, to get you where you need to be. I get excited when I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and stability of our times. You know why? Because there's a solution out there. There's a solution for the times that we live in, and it's not going to be found on the streets. It's going to be found in the scriptures. It's going to be found in us studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one correctly handling the word of truth. It's going to be understood by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. Of course, we're dealing with the introduction of Isaiah, and Isaiah helps us understand also the nature of the captivity of the children of Israel, Israel being divided into two kingdoms, one Judah and the other one, Judah, the southern kingdom. Of course, Isaiah was the prophet to the southern kingdom, but there was also a northern kingdom that was already in captivity at the time in which the prophet was writing this. And I can give you the northern kingdom was the original Israel, and then, of course, Judah was the southern kingdom. So, you know, things happen in the south, and I so happen to be in the south as I'm doing this. Well, I'm not necessarily in the south. I'm in the north. But I used to be in the south when I lived in Virginia. We got faith forms in the south, and then, of course, you know, I'm born in the south. So I kind of understand some of the things that happen in the south, because in the south, some things get sticky. And so there are prophets that are assigned, as you see in the scripture, through the study of Isaiah. You got to kind of go back to 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings. Now, see, a lot of times, because people don't know how to go through the scripture, they really can't. See, you can't tell the story if you don't know the story. And a lot of times we're trying to tell the story that we don't know. And other books in the Bible helps us to know other books in the Bible. And you got to read 2 Kings in order to understand the book of Isaiah, because Isaiah further enhances or adds on to the history that's established in the era of the kings. Why? Because captivity occurs in the states of kingdoms. I'm preaching better than y'all think I'm preaching. See, because we often talk about shifting systems. Well, shifting systems is going to happen when there's an establishment of another system. And God is able to establish us and keep us. Well, tell me right quick, just for a brief analysis, to Colossians. Glory to God. One way, we're going to hit Colossians. And I'm just doing this for the sake of just building my case. And we talked about going to the fourth chapter. Well, let's look at the first fifth verse. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming what? The time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye might know how ye ought to answer what every man. And, of course, go back up to verse 2. It says, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds, that I might make manifest as I ought to speak. So there's a way that the Lord is intending for us to speak. Why? Because there's stability ordained in the time. And so we learn to ordain stability in times by redeeming time. Now, the redemption of time is essential for the believer, because we understand that although we are in the world, we're not of the world. We have been redeemed by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior over our lives. And as a result of us getting in contact with the Lord Jesus and accepting him as our personal Lord and Savior, the way we conduct ourselves in the time that God has sanctioned for us to exist in is different from the ways of the world, because although we're in this world, we're not of this world. And so stability of the times focuses us to do certain things. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight in my concluding point. Isaiah helped outline this. You have to read the entire book of Isaiah, and in order to understand Isaiah, you got to refer to 2 Kings. So there's a lot of reading that you have to do, and that's why my people are not destroyed because of a lack of spirit. They're not destroyed because of a lack of fervent power. They're destroyed, the scripture says in Hosea 4:6, because of a lack of knowledge. And because they reject knowledge, because they reject the opportunity to learn the things concerning the word of God, he says he rejects their children. It's one thing to get rejected for your own actions and your own, but to put your children, to put future generations in ignorance because you refuse to study God's word is a shame. And we need to learn how to stand up and be the children of God that we are ordained to be. And if we're ordained to be children of God in this time, glory to God, we will take a greater seriousness of the word of God. Bless his name. And when we take a greater seriousness to the word of God, it'll focus us. Because, see, the scripture says he does everything in what? In decency and in order. Isn't that what the scripture says? So when you come into the spirit, that's how you understand what the spirit is doing. He starts structuring your life. He starts putting things in order. Why? Because he wants you to be stable in the times that we live in. Stability in time. So this study goes beyond just the prophetical analysis of the time period of Isaiah. Isaiah is a wonderful time period. You learn about the captivity of the Babylonians and the captivity of the Assyrians, and you learn about how when Isaiah came up, he received this calling when King Uzziah died. He said, "In the day of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was what? He was high and lifted up, and the train filled the temples, and the angels cried, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.'" He saw a future event. He saw a present event because it was a vision to aim him into the convictions that we're going to talk about. And so the scripture lets us know in Isaiah that we can understand the captivity of the Assyrians and the captivity of the Babylonians. And it also is written in the time where the Roman Empire, that where the Roman Empire was established, because it's understood that the Roman Empire was established traditionally, as historians recorded, in 753 BC. So it lets us understand this. Systems of the world were at the stake of the prophetic word being in place. When the prophet of God was in place to speak the word of God, systems were being developed. Whenever there's a change in systems that demand the people to take ownership of the states in which they live, it lets you know when systems demand change that sovereignty is at work. So that's why we need to know what it needs to take to have stability in times like these. Six things that we can learn from the life of Isaiah that I want to talk about tonight. Isaiah the prophet was called in times where systems were being developed. The Roman Empire was being established. Captivity of the Assyrians happened in his lifetime. Captivity of the Babylonians. The northern kingdom was already in captivity at the time when he was called to be a prophet of God. And the Babylonian system was about to occur, and he was at the peak of the Assyrian system. Matter of fact, he prophesied to try to prevent the Assyrians from attacking the children of Israel. And, of course, Judah rebelled because they had a king in leadership who would not obey the voice of the prophet. And so during the time of his reign, you see the emphasis of the coming of Christ. You see him being the prophet over the times of kings. So prophets are assigned to kings, whether you know this or not. Prophets of God do not speak in times of peace, but they speak in times that demand the actions of the king. And so the word, because the king is not set in place, because the king, the order of kings were not established by the governors of God. God originally established his kingdom based on the prophets. The prophets were in place prior to the king. Samuel, the king maker, if you recall, they wanted, I believe the king's name was Saul, for those of you who are biblical scholars. They wanted Saul to be the king because the people wanted a king, because they had saw the world or the Egyptian system at work governed by a king or an emperor, glory to God. And they wanted to mimic the world. And as a result of them wanting to mimic the world, they produced Saul, who was sanctioned based on the will of the people. And the will of the people weren't set on the heart of God, so it was a state of sin. So the system of kings was established by sin, but the establishment of the order of God was by Saul. Saul, they had to come right back to Saul when the king had started becoming prideful because he was puffed up by the will of the people, trying to do the role of the prophet. He died in a quest of evil and in a quest of misery, of satanic attacks. Why? Because he wasn't steadfast in the position in which the people had put it in. But God had a way of redeeming the time, my God, while the system of the world was established in the children of Israel. See, the children were set aside by God to walk in the statutes of God. But they had chosen to go another route than to go the way in which the Lord ordained. Well, glory to God. The scripture lets us know that God, even in the time that Saul was reigning, had a ram in the bush. They went into a field, and the prophet who God had ordained to establish order in that land sent for the anointing of a king, and they found King David. And as a result of King David, the throne was established for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in on a mighty on a mighty wave of redemption and restore men back to their rightful place to establish the kingdom of our Lord here on earth as it is in heaven. Well, glory to God, I can preach myself a little happy, but we got to go back to Isaiah because Isaiah helps us understand the nature of stability for our time. Isaiah lets us know, and I'm going to go to our foundation scripture as the concluding point, but Isaiah also lets us know how, just like the system was corrupted, how the system will be restored. And they still go in the manner in which the Lord established. See, all, the system is still going to be declared through a prophet. Jesus, when he came back on the earth, when he came back on the earth for the sake of redeeming men from a life of sin so they could live in a state of righteousness, it was declared through the prophet John, who had the same manner of spirit or essence as the prophet Elijah. Well, who was Elijah prophesying to? The tribe of Judah. Well, anyway, well, glory to God. That's something just for you to think about. He was preaching to the southern kingdom, just like Isaiah was preaching to the southern kingdom because they were called to the southern kingdom to preach to the people, to get them in line to hear what they needed to hear from God, to establish themselves as people who have stability in their times. Well, glory to God. Paul, because I'm so excited about teaching, but actually Isaiah here lets us understand some things through his lifestyle. First of all, Isaiah was married to a prophetess, which gives you a definition of a prophet and a prophetess. See, a lot of times we make terms conducive to our interpretation. Well, the word prophetess comes about not as a result of his wife being, or not as a result of a woman being a prophet. Because if a woman is a prophet, she is a prophet. But if she is a prophetess, she is married to a prophet. And I want you to understand, because we got a lot of people going around talking about I'm prophetess. No, you're either a prophet or you are a wife of a prophet. And that's why if you look in the New Testament and you look at the virgins who were Philip's daughters, they were called prophets or women who prophesied. Do you get the difference? They were not prophetess. You don't see prophetess in the Bible with the exception of Isaiah's wife, who was a prophetess by royal blood. She was born in the family of the prophets, and she married a prophet, so therefore she was a prophetess. If God causes you to be a mouthpiece, you are a prophet. Well, back me up, Ruth, and back me up with looking in the study of Judges. The prophet Deborah, she wasn't a prophetess. She was a prophet. Glory to God. Anyway, just giving you some information because Isaiah was a prophet, and in order to understand his role, and you have to back up to Kings, and the study of Kings will also reveal the importance of Samuel, who was the establishitarian of the office of the prophet. The office of the prophet was superior to the king, would let you understand why God raised up prophets in the Old Testament to restore the kingdom. As a result of them restoring the kingdom through the words of the prophet, glory to God, they were able to endure the times that they lived in. And so Isaiah helps us understand in the 120 years that he was in authority to lead the children of Israel, we understand where they missed it. But not only where they missed it, but where they were going. And in his life, we see these things. We see, first of all, the state of their conviction. We understand through his life, through the life of Isaiah, that they did not have a conviction about standing up for the standards in which God had taught them as a people. And that's what we have to learn in life lessons. When people begin to nullify their conviction, number one, when they begin to nullify their conviction, they lose sight of God. And then number two, it diminishes the worth of their confession. It diminishes the worth of their confession. Why? Because their word is not good. And when your word is not your conviction, then your confession is in vain. Glory to God. And so we see in Isaiah that because of their confession and their refusal. Now, their confession did not just mean their words, not just them talking their words, but them exemplifying the state of the value of God's word on their lives. My goodness, it goes beyond just professing words. A lot of people say, "Lord, Lord," and he says, "I never know you." Why? Because their confession their confession is not in place because their words are not combated with conviction. Glory to God. And so the third thing we see in Isaiah is a need for spiritual cleansing. But often in the need of spiritual cleansing, what happens is the devastation of physical cleansing. We see the bloody side of the judgment of God. We see captivity like we've never seen before. Those who were ordained to be riding on horses were being trotted down in the dirt, glory to God, because they had denied their confession and their conviction. And so the fourth thing that we see in the life of Isaiah, in the study of Isaiah, who examines the states of the kingdom for the sake of stability of our time, glory to God, is we see the willingness to enter into a consecration. See, when you learn through the spiritual cleansing and the confession and your conviction, then you'll understand the importance of a consecration. See, a lot of times we try to have a consecration, but we haven't developed a conviction. We don't have steadfastness in our confession, and Lord knows we ain't clean nothing because we still dirty and our righteousness is still as filthy rags. Well, that's only to them who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, who has made them the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't tell me you've been in the presence of an all-holy God and not get clean. And I'm not talking about being clean on your external appearance, although that benefits you in the natural world because you got to deal with people day to day, but spiritually cleaning yourself out to make sure that you're open and available to hear from an almighty God. Well, glory to God, when you allow yourself to enter into the willingness of consecration, then you'll learn the importance of obedience to the Great Commission. Why? Because Isaiah helps us understand that there was a commission on, there was a common mission on the children of Israel. The common mission was to do what God said do and to say what God says say, irregardless of what systems were being established around them. When you determine to do what God tells you to do and say what God tells you to say, no matter what system is going on around you, you become steadfast, unmovable. Why? Because you're abounding in the work of the Lord and your labor is not in vain. So he lets us know, because you have to understand as you trail through the books of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and you go through the 66 chapters, you'll unveil the common mission is that there's a Messiah coming, and his name is Jesus. Well, glory to God. And so our obedience to the Great Commission that is given will show us the revelation of a needed Christ. That's our final point tonight, a revelation of a needed Christ. See, Isaiah not only foresaw the reason of the captivity, he not only foresaw the reason of the captivity, he was able to establish the need for consecration in the midst of captivity. But he also understood that captivity has its end, and that end is going to be at the revelation of the Lord Jesus coming back as the Messiah. See, he never saw the Messiah physically, but he saw the Messiah spiritually. And as a result, the people could endure through captivity because there was someone who was willing to see, hear, and understand what the Spirit says to the people of God. If we would have people this day that would take the same initiation to have conviction, confession, to be cleansed, and to be consecrated because of the common commission or the common mission, we will see the needed revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ becomes needed, the people will do whatever it takes. And then it takes us to our foundational scripture in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. And I say this just as an introduction for the stability of time. And it lets us know that the Lord is exalted, verse 5, for he dwelleth on high. He has filled Zion with judgment. Yes, he has. See, there's a judgment that he's filled Zion with. That's the people of God. And righteousness. See, that's the state that we live in. And some of us fear righteousness because we're so sin conscious. But the Lord is causing us to change our focusness. Focus on the reality of what he did by redeeming the time. And of course, he says this, which is going to help us in our next pursuit for the stability of our times. And it says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be, glory to God, the stability of thy times and strength of thy salvation. The fear of the Lord. Yes, it is. It is his treasure. Well, I done talked to you tonight, giving you an introduction on Isaiah. And we talked about six life lessons of what chronicles, of the chronicles of captivity, what it reveals to study in the book of Isaiah. And in the next lesson, we're going to continue on our journey in the study of Isaiah and kind of deal with captivity a little more, because I want you to understand that there's stability for our time, but there's a method in which it's going to be imputed. And the scripture lets us know in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 6, what it is. I'm out of time. And it's not enough time to really share with you all that I want to share with you. But I'll be on Thursday night talking about prayer. We'll get prayed up about it, talking about the doctrine of confession. And then on Sunday, we'll go back into this discussion. And we'll continue on our first lesson of the stability of our time. It has been a wonderful time spending time with you in the Word. And those of you who are listening for the first time, I thank you for listening. Spread the word that we're on. People who need a word from the Lord, Tuesday nights at 11 p.m., we're going to give a systematic message full of simplicity, scriptural tools and insights that you can use for everyday usage. And I pray that the words of my mouth, even the meditations of my heart, the intents of my thinking be acceptable in thy sight, God. You are the giver of our strength and our redeemer. We thank you, Lord, for redeeming us in these times and showing us that there's stability for these times. Now, Lord, as we go further in your word, and this is just the introduction of the things in which you have purposed in my heart to share with your precious people. Let not the words fall on deaf ears, but accomplish that spiritually what you have purposed for it to accomplish. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are secure because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And as we celebrate his life in this season where we honor the fact that he rose from the dead, not only that he died, but that he rose, that we will rise and reign with him through faith. And we would not only reign with him through faith, but establish reconciliation that men would see our example and say, what must they do to establish likewise that relationship that is so needed with the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And we continue to covenant with you that all things that shall be accomplished will and revealed will be for your glory. And you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' precious name. I'll see you Thursday night. I'm going to be talking on prayer. Join me at 11 o'clock on Thursday, and then on Sunday we'll be back in part one of the stability of our time. It's been a wonderful night, and I will see you in the future. Keep listening to the broadcast. Let people know that we're on here. Don't forget about the leadership conference on May 4th through the 8th of 2009. We're going to be dealing with some very interesting tools. And I pray that you were blessed by the introduction of this lesson. And of course, you can always download these lessons. You can always purchase these lessons through our organization. If you have any more inquiries, you can look online at our blogtalkradio.com /uswat. Or you could go on our ministry website, or you can call our ministry at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. Again, that's 641-715-3800, extension 91120. Don't call 911, the extension, without dialing our number 641-715-3800, because we don't want the police to come to your. And it's been a lovely evening, and I believe that you're going to have a prosperous week. I will see you Thursday, and let everybody know that we're starting a new teaching day on Teaching Tuesday, and I pray that you are blessed by the word as I was tonight. Good night. And I will see you, or rather, good morning, because it's 12 o'clock. So you have a wonderful day. Get some rest. Got to go to work in the morning. Pray up, and God will wake you up on time. And he that's begun a good work shall be able to establish you in these times. God bless you. This is LaVon Grillen, the founder of Urban Glory Campaign, host of U-SWAT Radio, believing that you will have a prosperous week. Whatever you set your hand to do will prosper because of the greater one that's within you than he that is within the world. Good night.